Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind. Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on The Grave Talks, Darkness Following. A conversation with Sister Kia Lynn Francis. It starts with a near-death experience. It's a moment of trauma and stress for everyone involved. When the person pulls through and survives, it's a time to celebrate and cherish a life that will continue. Sister Kia Lynn Francis' life started that way. As she grew, she would grow to meet an imaginary friend that wasn't so imaginary, have the ability to sense and feel forces from the other side, and eventually would fall victim to a demonic infestation in her own home. Today, she uses these gifts to help those around her as a member of the Holy Order of St. Michael the Archangel, Catholic Mystic, and Nesper, Order of Exorcists, Reiki Master. This is her story on The Grave Talks.
As a child, I had an imaginary friend. Looking back, I think I was hanging out with a little ghost girl. To be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And I've had several near-death experiences, and they seem to draw me closer to the veil. Every time I have one, I seem to get a new gift, or a gift is grown upon, you know. Mm-hmm. I say gift, they're kind of curses sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and I had SIDS as a baby and had to be resuscitated. I was basically dead. And I think that was my first experience with poking the veil at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that started my gifts early. And so that I was hanging out with Dinja, and she looked like she came from, you know, probably about 1855, like Little House on the Prairie vintage.
Sure.
And she always hid when anyone came around. And, you know, we had great talks, but she didn't have a face. She had a veil, like her hood, bonnet was always up, and it was always cinched down, and I never saw her face ever, and which is weird, right, for an imaginary, quote unquote, imaginary friend.
That's an interesting one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we hung out together like for years growing up, and in my grandparents' farmhouse, which was very old, and people had, you know, like as they did in the day, been born and died in the same place. And there'd been deaths on the property and so forth. I always felt like I was being watched as a child, and I would never go upstairs by myself, even in the daytime. It gave me the heebs, and mm-hmm. I always felt like there was somebody up there with me, even as a child. And I mean, I wasn't afraid of the dark. I wasn't a child like that, that, you know, had a crazy imagination or anything. I always just felt like there was something there mm-hmm. watching me. And I always remember that. So I would always drag my sister upstairs with me if I had to go. It didn't matter if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no way in heck I was going up there by myself because I knew I wasn't by myself.
Sure.
And her bedroom, someone had someone had died in her bedroom. And I would never, I found this out later, I would never sleep in her bedroom. We had separate bedrooms, and I would never sleep in hers. I hated it. I hated the energy in it. Even back then, I was sensitive to energies. So it started quite early, and then it progressed. And in my 20s, I started to really have more experiences, you know, with like, yes, I use spirit boards and, you know, automatic writing. I sat down with a piece of paper and a pen in front of me, and it started moving on its own. And I was like, what in the actual hell?
Yeah.
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't initiate it. I didn't know what automatic writing was, or, you know, free writing. I had no idea. It just started happening. And it totally freaked me out.
And explain to the audience a little bit more about what automatic writing is. And
yeah, it's a divination tool. It's a way to contact spirit, that you hold a pen or a marker or whatever and a paper pad, and they essentially use your hand or the pen as an implement to communicate, and they will write through your hand. They kind of borrow your hand, and they'll write messages or images. They'll draw pictures. I've had things come through in other languages, like in indigenous languages. Like, so I'm talking languages. There's no way that I, you know, knew the word for grandmother in a First Nations language. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not possible. And I happen to have been working with Jeff Richards as a mentor when I got a bit older, and I realized, okay, I have to get these gifts under control. And he labels himself an intuitive, and he's the star of the show The Other Side. And I was working with him, and he does that as his part of his process when he does his walks. So later in life, I learned more about it. But in my 20s, it was just happening. I mean, it was drawing pictures. Yeah. And it's not your own handwriting when it happens. There's different pressures involved. Different entities have different ways of writing. You know, you can feel it. Later in my life, I lived in a house that was it was a demonic infestation. And the creepy stuff that came through, you know, it was terrifying. Like, I still have the books, and the one main, you know, entity was very, the pressure was very hard. It was very fast. It was very vulgar. It said things that I would never say. You know, and when I did it, I would have my eyes shut, and I would be kind of in a meditative state. Not everybody does it like that. Everybody has their own way of kind of doing it. But initially, I would just sit down and put pen to paper, and it would start moving in my 20s. So that freaked, you know, you can imagine. Yeah. That would freak you out, right?
I'm just trying
all
to under-
of a sudden there's something writing. Yeah. With your hand.
I'm trying to understand
your handwriting.
Trying to understand just the process. I mean, is this something where, you know, is it literally just, you know, sit down at the table with a piece of paper and a pen and then see what happens? Is it more of a, you said you're doing kind of in a meditative state. Is it something like that where you just kind of, you know, be at ease, and then it just, after a certain amount of time, it picks up? Are there times you sit there waiting for it and nothing happens? Or, I mean, how does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a process. It's different for everybody, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's got their own way of doing it. Like, I know Jeff walks around when he does it, and he just gets impressions, and he starts writing, and he's like, do-do-do-do-do, and he's walking through the, you know, a house or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's getting his impressions, writing them down. When I started it, he told me, you know, watch TV so that your subconscious brain is distracted, you mm-hmm. know, distract the subconscious initially when you're doing it.
Okay.
And then see what happens, and or ask a question, write a question down on the piece of paper, and see if an entity will come and actually answer it. you can do that too. You know, I was always, when I started doing it more, it was like, I would write down the date, the time, the room, and what I was doing. Like, am I meditating? Am I watching TV? Am I like listening to music with sound canceling headphones? Like, what kind of situation am I in that I'm doing it, that I'm getting responses or not getting responses, that kind of thing.
Is there,
you know, just kind of like a trial and error kind of situation
with,
you know,
with you being the conduit for something like that, is there risk involved with,
yes,
I mean, because because essentially, I mean, you're not possessed, but it's like possession,
but you're open.
Light.
You're open.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you have to be careful with everything, right? Like,
sure.
I'm to label myself, because I am I'm a Catholic sister. I'm not a nun. So I've taken minor vows. Now, initially I was a witch, not a dark witch, you know, but I believed in a higher power, you know, a divine creator, and just had a really close bond with nature. And I just didn't find a place where I fit in with a church or whatever, you know, and I still say that to people. I don't care where your ass is on Sunday, as long as you have a really strong moral compass and you're a good person, you know, you're good in my books.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not running around trying to convert people and stuff like that. And I say, if you know, if you're meant to find God, you'll find God. He'll be waiting for you. You know, and there it is. You know, I'm not out to you know, on a mission to preach and convert, you know. Like I said, if you're going to find God, you'll find God. But I it's more important for me to have people with a strong moral compass that are working for good and raising vibration and positive energy in that sense. And I don't judge, and neither does Father Plato, in that respect, you know, just be a good person.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of how I look at things, you know, that's my attitude. So because of being a sister, like, I'm still allowed to date. Not that that happens. I might as well be a nun, you know, and still can work. And, you know, I don't have a vow of poverty or anything like that. Obviously not a vow of silence.
Sure.
You know, so I'm a regular folk, just like, you know, cause we're independent Catholic too. You know, just like Father works and he's married and has children and stuff like that. So we're kind of like everybody else. And then we put the clerics on, but we, you know, can do exorcisms, and there's, you know, other perks that come along with the job. Anyway,
sure.
I'm rambling.
No.
So I'm labeled a mystic, but if I was not a sister, I would be an empath, and I would be a clairvoyant, and I actually have all the clairs, right, for all the senses, right?
Sure.
Oh my God. Sorry. My cats are going bananas. They just knocked over a big crucifix, and there's a salt lamp they're after.
Are the cats trying to do an exorcism? It is October 1st, the day we're recording this.
I think the cats need an exorcism.
I had a cat that I was suspicious of that at one time, quite literally.
Well, you know, entities will jump into animals.
Yep.
So when we do exorcisms, we actually put holy oil and holy water on any animal. Like, I have put it on a gerbil before, because they'll go into any living entity, and I'm like, please, gerbil, don't take the end off my finger. I'm trying to help you. You know. And it kind of seems ridiculous at the time that you're putting you're crossing a gerbil, you know, with holy oil. But
this is interesting, and I am curious about it. Just a weird theory that just kind of crossed my mind as we were talking. Because a lot of people I've heard lately, and I had brought up on the show a while ago, was people bringing pets into investigations and situations where they're sensitive, and they kind of pick up on something before even the people do.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, and I'm not trying to be, you know, tongue in cheek, but this is just a weird idea. Dog going into a situation prior to going in consumes holy water. Would that have some sort of an effect? You know, the dog has the holy water in it at that point. it's going into a situation, if it was a dark type situation where there was something demonic going on, not just, you know, Aunt, you know, Matilda.
You should protect your animal. Yeah. You should protect an animal going into an investigation.
Would that
protect it? If you're using a dog as a sensitive.
Would that protect it if it consumed the water? Or is that, again, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Is that something you shouldn't do? Like, you shouldn't consume holy water? Is that a thing? I don't know.
No, we consume holy water.
Okay.
I'll take a slug of it every now and again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was like, oh my God, don't talk about, you know, drinking holy water. Like, I don't know.
It's fine. It's a blessed water with exorcism salt mixed into it. That's basically. Just, yeah. So it's a salty water that's blessed.
I just wonder if the animal would then almost.
I wouldn't be drinking it out of the stuff that's at the church that people have been dipping their fingers in, you know.
It sounds
you wouldn't catch me licking it.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have bottles of it that are clean.
Sure.
So, you know, every now and again, I'll take a slug of it or you can put it on, an animal could consume it.
Okay.
And like I said, like if there's, because we do come under attack, mm-hmm. With what we do, we kind of have targets on our backs.
Yeah.
With Father being an exorcist and I'm an auxiliary exorcist. So we're kind of marked, right?
Sure.
Like extra marked. And negative stuff comes around every now and again. And I'm a crap magnet anyway because of my gifts. There's a portal in my house. Like I said, the last house I lived in was demonically infested, mm-hmm. and I lived with that for years, and I was under attack. And then that was before I was, a sister. That was before I was involved in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. So people can't say, oh, you brought it home from an investigation. I actually think what happened is one of the times that I almost died, I think it followed me back. Something negative attached itself to me when I was almost dead, mm-hmm. and came back with me and basically just fed off of me. The stronger I got, the stronger it got.
And kind of like took up residence in your home?
And took up residence, okay. And others came along and then I lived in a home that, I've been writing a book forever and I'm such a lazy ass. I have to say, there's no reason I haven't written this book four times over, especially with being locked in the house with COVID. But I am writing a book about it. I mean, it's like a book that, what the incidents that happened, it's like, it could be a horror movie. You know, if I let James Wan go off with it, you know, It was all true. But I'm pretty certain it came home from the hospital with me when I was there. One of my incidents, like I've had, I'm trying to think of how many times now, how many near-death experiences. And near-death experiences are different than post-mortem experiences. When your heart stops and you flatline and you have no vital signs and your pupils are fixed and dilated, mm-hmm. You know, that's a post-mortem experience. And then they bring you back and they zap you back. And then, you know, you've actually been dead. Mm-hmm. That's different than a near-death experience. Like, I've come close to dying, but I've never actually been dead.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I've never actually been like, you know, no response from pupils. But I've had blood pressures of like 25 over 10, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And that's not a viable blood pressure. And I left my body that time.
Yeah.
But I was still technically had vital signs, you know? So from my experiences, I've always technically had vital signs. And then I always develop a new gift. And, you know, the clairvoyance came later in life. I had one issue when I was 15 of clairvoyance. I saw my boyfriend getting into a traffic accident over and over, and then it happened. And I saw him getting hit by something dark, and he got T-boned by a navy blue truck after I dreamt it about four times. But I didn't see a truck. I just saw like a wall of darkness, mm-hmm. coming at him, and I saw it from the perspective of his mother where she was sitting in the truck. But then that developed later in life and in my 30s and after more of these, you know, near-death experiences. And then I just had another one recently, lucky me, where I had a hip replacement, and I used to play roller derby, and like full contact, like pound the crap out of you. And I was like a wrecking ball. And so my right hip suffered greatly, and I was a bodybuilder, so it also suffered greatly.
Sure.
And needed a new hip, and I ended up having a blood clot from my knee to my hip, and I fell. And 4 days later, I had a massive pulmonary embolism, so that's a big clot in my lung, and I nearly died. I was in intensive care for a week and a half, and part of my lung infarcted and died. Like, if you had a heart attack in your heart, you know, myocardial infarction, same thing. I'm also a registered nurse too, like father. So I nearly died from that. My heart rate was 200 for 3 hours until they got it under control. And my respirations were about 85. I couldn't breathe. I would feel like I was suffocating. And they thought that my heart suffered damage. The troponin, which is an indicator of heart damage, was like going sky high. That was like the worst CAT scan. Trying to lay back for that increased the pain. And I'm pretty sure I left claw marks in the CAT scan over my head. I'm pretty sure whoever was went in next was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
There's like 8 finger marks in it. Like, so that was my last one that was really intense. And, you know, it was, but now I'm finding that I can do psychometry pretty well, which I didn't really have a flair for before. I would practice, but I just did a couple of psychometries on the weekend for people, and they were spot on. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess that's something new.
Psychometry, explain that to the audience.
Psychometry is when you touch an object and you get impressions from it. So a gentleman who is doesn't believe nor not believe, so he doesn't call himself a skeptic, handed me something, and he's like, can you do psychometry? And I'm like, meh. I'm like, well, I guess we're gonna see in a minute.
Yeah.
And he handed me an object, and I said, okay, I said, this was given to you by a male, you know, who's deceased. He passed away from cancer. I said, you know, it's a pool cue, it's made of wood, it's very special to him, and it's very special to you. I said, you never use it, you never take it out of the box. And I said, it's like, it was incredibly special between the two of you, and he wanted you to have it, and he gave it to you specifically, you know, before he passed away. And like, he was like, gah. You know, and it was everything that I told him was correct. So you know, he was impressed with that. And then someone else gave me a pen, and I said, this didn't used to be a pen, you know. I said, it's made of wood, but the wood is old, and it was specifically made for you. Someone carved it, and you don't use this pen. It's very special. You only use it for like signing your name on stuff, and it's a treasured object to you that was given to you by someone special. And again, all that information was correct too. And they were like grinning ear to ear. They were like, oh yes, that's all right, that's all right, you know. And then they told me the backstory. So, you know, I gave them a fair bit of information about the objects that they gave me to touch. So those were the impressions. And we were doing with Ottawa Paranormal, OPRI, Ottawa Paranormal Research and Investigation, is shooting a show called Into the Haunting, that I've been doing with them for a few years on and off. It hasn't been picked up yet, but we're just doing it, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And going to some neat locations, and I touched some stairs, and I'm like, these are not the original stairs. Like, this is not where the lady died. And he's like, no, that's correct. The stairs used to be over there, you know, that sort of thing. So clearly that's something else I've picked up now, since my last poking at the veil.
Yeah.
So I got to stop doing that, though, really.
No kidding. Next, you're just going to do, it's just going to be like, there's, everything's accessible. It's all there. Like, you're just going to see the dead people walking around 100% of the
time. Yeah, you know, I really don't want that, though. Like, I'm really okay with not seeing dead people, like, waking up and having, like, a decomposed person staring back at me. Like, I have no desire for that.
You got to stay healthy, then.
Like, if God wills it, so be it. But, like, I don't, like, I can't imagine people that have that gift, like, how, like, torturous it must be, honestly. Like, that would be terrifying. Like, I mean, like, the house that I lived in was terrifying enough, and I would never put a camera up at night because I did not want to see what was going on when I was asleep.
Yeah.
Like,
and I want to talk about that house here in just a second, but I want to ask, because we're talking about psychometry there for a moment. Does it work with essentially, you know, any object that has had meaning, or does it need to be kind of, you know, given to you or asked of you in conjunction with another person? For example, could you walk through an antique store, pick up an object, and then be able to kind of pick some stuff out of it, even without any family member, the owner of the object, saying anything to you? Or does the person need to be there to be like, this is something special to me, what do you got?
No, you know what? Anything that's holding on to energy, right?
Okay.
Like, in a house, if I go in and touch the floor, like, if there's, like, maybe a blood spot, an old blood spot in an old house that's from, like, you know, 1850, and somebody had been murdered there or whatever, and I touch the floor, touch anything. Things that hold on to energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's basically everything. I mean, some things are more susceptible to holding on to energy, but if something really was special to someone, things that are made of wood, things that are, things that are stone, like limestone is really good for holding on to stuff. But yeah, I should be able to touch stuff and get an impression from anything.
Okay.
You know, I've seen things. I've gone to a haunted museum and seen objects and picked up stuff from them just from looking at them without actually touching them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's kind of like psychometry, but without actually touching the stuff. But I used to practice my butt off with a deck of cards, and I would touch it and go like, okay, is it red or is it black? You know, and try and go through the whole deck that way, you know, and that's how I would practice first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and work on it that way, kind of thing. Red feels different than black.
Interesting.
You know?
I want to get into the house that you lived in that when you came home from the hospital, but there's a question I wanted to ask before we get to that from way back here in our conversation. Your childhood imaginary friend, you know, I'm assuming when you look back on the memories of this in your mind, are you seeing that person? Like, you, when you recall it, this was a child there just as clear as day, just as any other child that you would have been playing with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she was my best friend.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
She was totally my best friend. Yeah. She like looked like a Holly Hobby, you know, like I said, she looked like, and oddly enough, like Little House on the Prairie later in my life was like my favorite show. And I was really drawn to that period. Yeah. And I really think that that's because that's what she looked like.
And I think a lot of people have that sort of experience, and sometimes it hits them later in life where they actually realize, wait a second, what was it for you? What was the moment where you connected those dots and you kind of had that revelation of, oh, you mean everybody doesn't see their imaginary friends?
Because I think I've always been different. Like, my mom used to call me Weird Wilma. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, but I think my mom always recognized that there was something different about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not in a bad way.
Sure.
Like, I mean, she's teased me in a loving way, like, okay, Weird Wilma. But yeah, it was just, I mean, my sister had an imaginary friend, mouse. It was a imaginary mouse named Bruno, but I knew it wasn't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't. You don't. You're pretending.
Did you know, did you know as a child that others did not see your imaginary friend?
Yeah, because she used to book it when people would come in the room.
Okay.
She would go. She would leave, you know, and then she'd be like, I'll be back later. you know, it was just like, I'm out of here. Like, no one else can see me.
So you kind of throughout most of, you know, once you got a little bit older, you knew that that was something. Maybe there wasn't necessarily that adult moment of like, wait a second.
I don't think I ever really doubted that saw something at that time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I ever really doubted that. Because it was it was too real to not have been real.
Sure.
You know?
I had a moment on our other program years ago with my ex-wife when we were talking. And she had a situation. We were talking about imaginary friends. And I brought up, I had one. But, you know, you don't see your imaginary friends is the way I put it. And she's like, what are you talking about? You don't see, like, you don't see them. Like, you just, when you're pretending. And she was talking about hers. Like, I saw mine. And we talked about it in great detail. And it was literally kind of like a revelation moment of like, oh my God, I think that was a ghost. And it was dressed in a period attire that was from a different time period. And it was a really interesting kind of moment on the show. And since then, I've had many calls and emails and stories, very similar type things where people have that kind of revelation. Sometimes, you know, it's confirmed early on and you kind of get it. And sometimes you're like 30 something and like, oh my God. You know,
you're like, wait a minute. That was actually something. You're like, I was playing with a ghost. Holy crap.
Yeah. You know? I know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. No, I never doubted that she was real. And especially like, you know, later on, I thought, it was weird that I never saw her face. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there was something to the fact that, she probably got kicked in the face by a horse and that's what killed her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there was something wrong with her face.
Sure.
And that's why I never saw it. She didn't want to scare me.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to be friends, but not freak me out. And that's the impression that I get now as an adult who has stronger senses. That's why I never saw her face.
Would she come and play with you anywhere you were? Or was it only at your grandparents' house?
Nope. She'd come anywhere.
Okay.
She'd come anywhere. Yeah. She'd come in my house. She'd come my grandparents' place. It was, she was just like wherever I was and we wanted to play, she'd be there. She'd be playing like next to me, like we play Barbies. Like, you know.
Was there a time where she eventually went away or did she ever have, was there a moment where she's like, I gotta go now.
Yeah.
See you later.
When I got older, you know, then, and like they say that when we're young, we're so open to stuff, right? And then when we get old, when we're young, we're open to stuff, so we'll see stuff because we don't know we're not supposed to, right? And then when we get older, that kind of gets shut off and we're not supposed to see ghosts and ghosts aren't real and you're not really seeing a ghost. And, you know, that's all just silly talk. And, you know, and I guess it just becomes a point where they just leave, you know. I mean, if you're I'm not a medium. Like, I don't profess to be a medium. Like, I don't see. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes I do see spirit. Like, but a lot of times they come to me in dreams. So there's my clairvoyance, or like I have premonitions, and in my dreams and stuff like that. And like this whole COVID business. Like, I had a chat with my friend about it, like before it really even started, and he's like, "You gave me dates, and you gave me this, and you gave me." You know, waves. And he's like, and you were right, like right down to like basically like the time frames and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, that's freaky. Like, that's like, you know, premonition, oracle kind of stuff. And, you know, I see some terrible things before they happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So it's not always, it's not always pleasant. And it's not always like, you know, people think, oh, it's so cool. And, you know, it's not always like it's sometimes very horrifying, and the stuff that you see is awful, you know, and it's really upsetting, and I'll wake up crying like and sweating and you know, and not in a good place from what I see. I don't like enjoy watching news or television or, you know, I watch stupid stuff because it's not upsetting, and I don't I'm very empathic, and like I started to watch a documentary about 9/11, and I completely fell apart.
Sure.
And I'm like, nope, that was a really bad choice. Like,
no, I get you. I find more and more. I mean, the more I do this, the more I understand about myself, and the more I learn about all these over the last 10 years of doing this show. It's I'm finding myself to be more empathic than I think I thought I was. And I'm discovering more and more, you know, I'm drawn to, you know, dark topics and things like that. You know, this is what we're talking about here. You know, and then I have a true crime show and I could watch Dateline for hours on end. But I discover that when I do that, even though, you know, these are stories that are not affecting me, it's like that really pulls you down. Like it
lowers your vibration.
Oh my goodness.
It really lowers your vibration.
Yeah.
And you feel that.
Yeah.
And like I'm a Reiki, actually I'm higher than a Reiki master. I'm between a Reiki master and a grandmaster just because of how my teacher teaches it. So I'm a Reiki master plus higher levels and a teacher. So, you know, we learn about energy in that and being a conduit for energies and raising energies and stuff and what lowers your energy and you know, stuff like that will lower your energy.
Yeah.
And you really do feel it, you know, and that's why after you have like a Reiki treatment, you feel like $1 million because your energy has been raised.
Yeah.
And when I treat people, I play music of a certain frequency that's depending on the person's need, like angelic frequency or a healing frequency. It makes a difference as well. And it's just incredible, like what it can do, you know, in terms of like even treating depression and getting rid of attachments and when your energy is, when you get that positive energy, like a post exorcism, I will treat someone, I'll do a Reiki treatment on them to replace that negative energy that's been removed and put positive energy, that high vibration energy in where the negative's been. And it makes quite a difference, you know, and or even people in the house because they've been living with such low vibrational energies that, you know, you replace it with that high stuff and it makes such a difference. So even watching a comedy and laughing versus watching something that's like, you know, morbid and it just changes how you feel completely,
It does. I mean, it really, this last week I've switched out Dateline for Schitt's Creek and I've been like, I feel so good this week. And like, it's interesting. It is interesting how that stuff affects you. That wraps up part one of our conversation with Sister Kia Lynn Francis. In part two, what caused Kia Lynn's house to become infested with demonic entities? What did Kia do when her home was rattled by a dark force, quite physically, literally, from scratches on the wall, beds shaking, and terrifying noises that could not be explained? How did Kia calm the dark spirit down that was tormenting her home? And why does she think that she seems to be a magnet for spirits to follow her, both good and bad? Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.